Midlands today with Tullamore Motors. The all-new Renault Zoe. Live the easy electric life. TullamoreMotors.ie. When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
Well, good morning. How are you after that bank holiday weekend? Rather mixed weather-wise, and unfortunately for the Burr air display, the rain arriving at exactly the wrong moment. So commiserations to Colm and to all the team on a lot of hard work consigned to the bin for this year. But they will be back. They will be back bigger and better than ever in 2023. Now, coming up today, 21 years of Leash Sports Partnership. We look back over their achievements and also, as we look to the future, what is in store for health and for fitness and for public health in not just County Leash, but in the wider Midlands. Chewing gum. It is a scourge, particularly in the Tullamore area. So what's being done about it? And Arthur O'Mara will be here from 10:30 taking your questions on gardening. And a special treat after 11 with Oisín McConville and Cathy Kelly in conversation with Brian Cunningham. When you call 0818 300 103 is the Midlands 103 comment line. You can text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. And did I mention, by the way, the end of Love Island? Yes. Was it a good series? Were you glued from the beginning? Did it even register on your radar? Well, over to you. And lots to talk about today. And caller of the day wins big with thanks to the Tullamore Show, which is back for 2022. More on that later. Front page of the Irish Independent. Plan to increase pensions and welfare in line with pay rises. So a new benchmarking plan has been agreed. And they're going to link the pension and also social welfare rates to the average industrial wage. So when the average industrial wage increases with inflation, so too will your pension. I wonder will they do that with public sector salaries? Because for years, public sector unions didn't really want to link to inflation. Inflation was too low. All of a sudden now they want increases in line with that. Well, can you have it both ways? The main picture, though, on the front of the Irish Independent shows the Meath captain, Shauna Ennis, with her teammates during their homecoming parade in Navan after clinching the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship against Kerry. But all eyes here in the Midlands were in Port Leash yesterday. The return of the ladies. And if you didn't get a chance to come out and congratulate them on their intermediate win over Wexford, well, you'll hear a fly on the wall report a little bit later. And of course, the Fla is underway. But disappointingly, not too many pictures from Mullingar in the papers over the last few days. The president did make the opening speech, but the fact he was at the Fla has been eclipsed by a letter written by his wife Sabina and published in the Irish Times last week and also briefly published on the president's own website and subsequently removed. And in it, she was arguing that the war in Ukraine will only end if both sides come to the negotiating table. And not everybody agrees with that position. For instance, if somebody tries to break into your house, take part of your property, you're not going to negotiate with them to work out a resolution. You're going to fight them. And that's the position the Ukrainians are taking. So in the Irish Times this morning on the front page, there are various Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil politicians coming out to say the president must clarify his stance on his wife's letter. Did he help her write it, for instance, and so on? Well, they never miss a chance to have a go at Michael D. Higgins, because one thing that irks many senior people in government is that he's more popular than any minister, any senior political figure in the country, by a country mile as well. Now, let's look inside the papers. Broadband. And if you are in a rural part of the Midlands, you are probably hoping and crossing your fingers and maybe cynically wondering, will the national broadband plan come to you anytime soon? Well, if you go on to the NBI website, there are maps showing, in effect, where private operators are going to put their money in and where the state will have to put all of our money in. And they're divided into blue areas and amber areas, amber being where the state is going to intervene. But according to Dennis Naughton, who is a Midlands TD, but also a former Minister for Communications and was once in charge of this, there are up to 80,000 homes incorrectly categorised. So they need state intervention, but the map claims private operators are doing a grand job and they don't need any further assistance. So if you have access to the internet, if you have broadband or any form of connection, NBI, look it up. There are maps there. And just make sure your house is in the correct area. You get to stick in your air code. I did it earlier for mine and it was saying still under assessment. So it didn't show me any colour, one way or the other. Mortgage to rent is a term that has become a little more popular over the last few years, and it's a scheme that launched very, very meekly and the uptake was very low, but it's beginning to gather pace. And there's a case study in the Irish Independent this morning of Fiona Macken from Roscommon. And Fiona, in her 20s, life was absolutely flying for her. She had a good job, she was married. She took the plunge and bought a house, not in her native Dublin, but in County Roscommon for affordability reasons. And she was able to continue in her job. But then in 2008, she began to feel unwell and she was subsequently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She was working in advertising and advertising took a massive hit in the recession. And in the heel of the hunt, Ulster Bank did a deal with her to lower her repayments. And it was around this time her marriage ended. And then, unfortunately, she had a turn with alcoholism. And anyway, spring 2019, she signed herself into rehab, having hit rock bottom. She subsequently emerged, got help from MABS, the Money Advice and Budgeting Service, and she applied for the Home for Life, the mortgage to rent scheme. And total shock, but also joy and relief, she says, she got a call one day to say Home for Life was willing to buy her home and she will rent it for the rest of her days. Now, fair enough, she's not going to own it, but she has the security of a roof over her head and she can put her life back together. The house is leased to Roscommon County Council. The County Council is her landlord. So you can read how it works in the Irish Independent. But if life doesn't go according to plan, and it never does, then this may be an option for you. Now, if the worst should happen, and I think the headline in the Irish Times today really needs to make clear, this is a worst case scenario. If there is a problem with oil supplies, gas supplies, energy security this winter, should the war in Ukraine ripple out and more people get sucked into it. The government will create a network of 130 service stations around the country, which will be prioritised for fuel deliveries. And there will be 40 categories of emergency and essential workers, and only they will be given access to these stations. So immediately there are lots of questions. Well, where will these stations be? So apparently the government will be connecting with them in the next couple of weeks to alert the filling stations. You are one of the priority guys. And right now they have no idea. And also, who would be in this degree of emergency and essential worker? You qualify. So the plan is being done and should be completed in the next couple of weeks. Love Island, lots of pictures of, God, oh, I have to pronounce these names, heavens above, Ekinsu, I don't know how her, so, anyway, David San Clemente, so Ekinsu and David, apparently, and Gemma Owen and Luke, and Gemma Owen is Michael Owen's daughter. That's the only thing I know about her. But unfortunately, no Irish victory. We have to wait for another season. Dammy and Indiana finished in third place. But apparently they had a lot of fun and they're very much in love and yada yada. Was it a good season? Some people, it's great to have the distraction and the bit of escapism and to look at all the pretty people and what they're getting up to. But for others, and I have to admit I'm in this camp, it is just mind-numbing. Cannot abide it. Here's an interesting one in the Irish Independent. Do you know the difference between a use-by date and a best-before date? Because a lot of people don't. And new research shows it's contributing to a massive amount of food waste. And so supermarkets in different parts of the world, in Britain, for instance, in Germany, they are now doing away with the best-before date. And you therefore make up your own mind if you see fruit and veg, for instance. Does it look a little wrinkled and withered and dehydrated? Or is it still very much usable? So the distinction is, if a food is potentially dangerous if it goes off, then the supermarkets would still have a use-by date, after which it can't be on the shelf and it gets thrown out. But the best-before date, when it's in its prime, if you like, they're going to get rid of that. Is it a good idea? The risk, of course, is that people will continue to confuse use-by and best-before, and then they end up with food poisoning. But anyway, if it's something that you support, and I think there is absolutely good reason not to be throwing out as much food as unfortunately we do, is this the right way of securing that? And a final one for you, and I spotted this on Friday night, and I thought, hang on, this is buried in the newspapers, and it deserves to be called out. Vodafone was one of the companies that when the Ukrainian refugees started coming to Ireland, it was absolutely full square behind them. And it was offering free calls and texts for refugees trying to keep in contact with family and friends back home. And as you know, the war in Ukraine continues. But apparently Vodafone is withdrawing its offer of free calls. And an executive has spoken to the Irish Independent off the record, unnamed. And they're saying, unfortunately, from a corporate point of view, there is no more value in offering free mobile services to the Ukrainians. The PR kudos has well worn off. Which is fine. Obviously, people have costs and companies have to try and pay the bills and it's just worth mentioning that if you're going to claim to provide free services, it should also be mentioned when you withdraw them. So now make up your mind whether Vodafone did the right thing for the right reason or not. Irish Independent, that was Friday night. I didn't see it anywhere since. Now, still to come this morning, if you missed the homecoming of the Laois ladies and their All-Ireland success, well, don't worry. We'll make you a fly on the wall in around 15 minutes for the celebrations. And chewing gum is a particular scourge in Tullamore. We've no idea why, but you will be hearing what the local council intends to do about this from 20 past 10. Now, let's turn the clock back because there's a 21st birthday to be celebrated. Caroline Myers, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
Not your birthday.
No, I wish
21
it was.
Plus a little bit of VAT. But
a lot of VAT at this stage.
But you are the coordinator of Laois Sports Partnership, which is in existence 21 years. Tell us and go back in time. Why was it set up?
The concept initially arose from Laois County Council, then acting county manager Louis Brennan, I suppose, saw a need in the community and how sports can actually develop communities. So they established a sports forum back in 1996. and then it kind of grew from there. They got councillor support, and obviously they got support behind the local authority, and then Sport Ireland, they approached Sport Ireland with the concept as well. So it kind of grew from that initiative on the ground back in 1996. So it's grown a lot, I suppose, then. We were officially formed in 2001. We were one of eight local sports partnerships initially, and now we're a network of 29.
And your mission was to do what?
Our goal is really to increase participation in sport and physical activity for the people who are not active.
How do you do that?
We do that through a range of programmes. I suppose it's important to say we have a lot of target groups. We have older adults, we have people with disabilities, we have disadvantaged communities, we have ethnic minorities, we have young people. So we would partner up, I suppose, with clubs, communities, our NGBs, national governing bodies, and we would deliver programmes. So some of the programmes we have delivered, I suppose, recently are just a lot of our inclusion camps with the GAA, basketball, soccer, and also our Learn to Cycle camp, which is hugely popular. And we've also done Wellness Unleashed, which was a 12-week lifestyle intervention programme. We do Swim and Women programmes, we do older adult programmes, we do Couch to 50k cycling with the Leash Cycling and Touring Club. We've basically, I suppose, it's everything. It's whatever will entice people to get up and get active.
From those humble beginnings, it sounds like you've a packed calendar now. Are there times of the year when you're inactive?
Unfortunately not. I suppose there was maybe a little bit of downtime a couple of years back, maybe during the summer, where you could plan again for the autumn and winter, but there's no such thing as downtime now. It's constant. I suppose it's constant go, go, go. We just launched our new strategic plan for 2022 to 2026 there in March as well. So we have a full calendar. I suppose my job then would be to make sure we have enough resources to deliver on our strategic teams.
Well, if you take the normal life cycle of people, we might be involved in sport in school and then at club level, and some who are very gifted and very good, they continue on, and you know, certainly to their 40s maybe. A lot of people drop out in their teenage years. How do you reconnect them?
I suppose for teenagers, we try to do a lot of come and try days, taster sessions, just to kind of broaden the horizons to see what other options there are than mainstream sports. So it could be dance, it could be self-defence, it could be whatever they're interested in, even something as simple as a couch to 2K, because a lot of people maybe don't even mind, oh, I can't do that. And then if you do it maybe in a school setting, they feel a sense of pride, and maybe it's something that they might enjoy. And then from that, then they would try to link them in with the club, which is hugely important for future sustainability. So it's really just trying to see what are they interested in, and then just trying to give them opportunities to participate in those sport or physical activity.
Who would be the hardest group to convince to come back into sport?
I would say it's not that it would be the hardest group. There's quite a lot. There's just a lack of opportunities maybe for some of our harder to reach groups. And I suppose that's the importance of the local sports partnership, that we can work with partner agencies on the ground and try to get in there and implement some programmes and physical activity. And, you know, it's also, I would personally view sport and physical activity as a personal development tool. And I see huge value in a lot of our partner agencies, such as the Leash County Council, the HSC and the Leash Offaly ETB, would come on as valuable partners, and they would, maybe we'd work together, they might do an educational programme then on top for sport and physical activity. So it's really just trying to kind of build that relationship and get into the local communities.
Let's talk about confidence, because sport can be competitive. In fact, that's one of the selling points for some, but it can also be a deterrent to others.
Without a doubt. And I suppose what's different about the local sports partnership, the emphasis is on fun and inclusion. I'm a very competitive person myself. I would have played a sport as when I was younger, but I realised in latter years, when I no longer played team sports, that my competitiveness was still there. So I suppose the message is really just to take that out of it. You will always have a certain cohort that will be competitive, and that's just your nature, but it's always about fun and inclusion.
So how are you celebrating your birthday?
Well, we were thinking long and hard what we were going to do for 21st. And I suppose for me and the team, it's really around a message we just want to get out to the people of Leash, and which is a big thank you. Without the volunteers, without the clubs, without the communities, without our partner agencies and our funders, obviously Sport Ireland, we wouldn't be where we are now. And I suppose this is our way of just saying a huge thank you. We've partnered up with a lot of local businesses, so we'll kind of have a lead in for 10 days of different competitions where they can win some amazing prizes. And on the day, Laois Leisure Port Laois have partnered with us, so we'll actually have a 2-hour open window in the leisure centre of free activities of open swim, aquarobics, archery, spin class and boot camp. And we'll finish it off then with obviously a nice cup of tea and a cake, which is not the most healthiest, but I think it's important just to back it.
Well, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of carbohydrates to get the energy out there. You know,
they'll deserve it after all that exercise.
Damn straight. So if you want to connect in, if you're just curious and you want to see what's the programme, where's the best way to look up the information?
I suppose two methods, realistically. You can check out your local sports partnership for us in Laois. It's at Laois LSP. You can also check out the Sport Ireland website, because we have Her Outdoors is a big initiative starting next week. So there'll be a lot of activities happening across the country in that, and especially here in the Midlands as well, with my colleagues in Offaly and Westmeath.
I won't ask you to look ahead 21 years, but if you look ahead maybe over the next five, what's in the crystal ball? What's going to change?
I suppose for myself personally is to grow the team. We've grown a lot, I suppose, over the last, particularly last 10 years in this new strategic plan. It's really to get the team to grow to maybe about 15. So we'll have more development officers in communities. Also, it would be to, I suppose, just grow our capacity. We'll be able to, we are obviously the leaders in Laois for sport and physical activity, so we want to make sure we keep building on that and grow. So my aim for the next at least 5 years would be to work on that and make sure that everything we do is obviously in compliance with governance as well, because that's hugely important apart from the day job that we do. So it really is just to grow the team and to make sure that we are the first point of contact for people in County Laois regarding sport and physical activity.
Caroline, happy birthday. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Caroline Myers of Laois Sports Partnership, which celebrates 21 years. Now it's coming up on 20 to 10, still to come, some gaps in the government's national broadband plan. 80,000 homes, apparently, miscategorised. More details in around 15 minutes. Many, many celebrations across County Laois on Sunday, as the ladies footballers were crowned Intermediate All-Ireland Champions in Croke Park. And boy, it was a tense game. They opened up a 10-point lead at one stage, but Wexford, they never say die. And they came back and they came back and they came back. And a goal in the dying minutes, ooh, that really, really added to the nail biting. But in the end, Laois hung on, and they will be promoted to senior football for next year. And afterwards, the panel and their coaches and the backroom team, they returned home to attend the celebrations. And Midlands 103 sports editor David Hollywood brings you this report.
You know, there is a huge opportunity if you train hard, play hard, you know, want to play for your county. And as John Milan says, we love our county, and all you have to do is look around to see the crowds today and what it means to Laois people to have success. And thanks to everybody, and we love Laois.
Mia.
Kate.
Emma King.
I see you behind there. Do you want to say your name?
Sarah.
Where were you first?
In Croke Park.
You got to go to the game. Brilliant. Did you all get to go to the game?
Yeah.
And you all went together, was it?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a favourite player?
Yeah. Anna Healy.
I don't know.
Good.
Oh, sure, it's great, especially for the younger ones coming up. You know, it's just, yeah, it's great. Like, and like that, they want to, they nearly went out and kicked football after the match yesterday, you know, after being watching it. So, yeah.
Oh, hopefully it pushes them on, and every girl should want to play for Laois now at the moment, so it's great for the girls and it's great for all the younger kids coming up.
Sport is a great thing to have for young people coming up, isn't it? Get them out there, outdoors.
Even in this weather?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Feels amazing, you know, I'm so proud of this group of girls. We've been
working hard the last 3 years since Donny and his team came in, so we always knew that we had the ability and the skill to get here, and I'm just so proud that we did it yesterday and we got over the line and we're well able to celebrate now yesterday and today.
What was the feeling when you hear the full-time whistle and it's that moment it's happened?
Oh look, we were just so thrilled to get over the line with Wexford. We'd obviously had two close battles with them last year, and then again this year in the Leinster Championship. It was close this year. It went to extra time here actually in Amore Park, and we unfortunately came out on the wrong side of it, so that really like pushed us on to you know, be better, be more focused for the All-Ireland series, and luckily we came out on the right side of it yesterday, so absolutely delighted. Couldn't believe it when the full-time hooter went yesterday in Croke Park.
More focused, I say, he's looked possessed actually with the blocks and everything like that. And then let's talk about today, because this is special, isn't it? You know, like the weather has been a disgrace and that's grand, but everyone's here, the turnout's huge, and there's no shortage of smiles.
No shortage of people here today either. It's absolutely amazing to see the Laois crowd out today and in yesterday as well in Croke Park. They're out in force, and it was absolutely unbelievable to come out onto the pitch and just see all the blue and white and hear them as well. But every block, every turnover, every score, it was unbelievable. So we're so grateful to have that Laois support behind us, and we wouldn't be able to do it without the supporters.
On cloud nine today, I'd say.
Oh, at least cloud nine, if not ten, yeah.
Where did you guys watch the match yesterday?
In Croke Park.
Up our Hogan stand.
Did you get to go to the game?
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
Yeah.
What was your favourite moment of the game?
At the end, when they won.
When they won?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have a favourite player?
Anna Moore.
She was good. What about you guys? Do you have a favourite player?
Mo and Ernie.
Did you think the goal was good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And were you all really stressed at the end when it looked like Wexford might come back?
Yeah.
Here with Amy Kelly. Amy, captain of Laois, the intermediate champions for 2020.
Yeah, look, I'm extremely proud. The girls have given so much commitment over the last year, even a couple of years, and we've worked so hard for this training 3-4 nights a week, so we really deserve to be there, and I'm just so happy with the girls and the commitment and hard work they've given throughout the year.
And that report by Midlands 103's David Hollywood. So congratulations to all, and big well done to Pat and Mags on commentary as well, with massive listenership on Sunday for the game online from overseas, and also 97 countries. Yes, just looking at it here, 97 countries people had tuned in to hear that game. So Laois people well spread out across the globe. Ireland's best loved one day agri show is back as the Tullamore show makes its return to the Butterfield Estate Sunday week, the 14th of August. And you can be assured all the usual trade stands and machinery demos, the craft village, the food pavilions, the kids areas, the Gartha band, they'll all be there. And for bands, Olivia Douglas will be performing on the day as well. So I know you want to go. I want to go. It's great to have these events back, and we appreciate them now more than ever. And all this week, you can win tickets to the Tullamore show by becoming caller or texter of the day. Get involved. And even if what we're talking about you don't have a strong opinion on, just get involved one way or the other. Say hello, give out, tell me about the weather, whatever, it doesn't matter. 083 30 10 103, text or WhatsApp, powered by Land Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. But always best, pick up that phone and talk. Because in the next hour, Arthur O'Mara will be here from O'Mara's Garden Pavilion to answer as many questions as possible. If you are trying to get out in the garden, and hopefully the weather over the next week is going to be very, very conducive to that, well, he can give you advice and top tips. After 11, Oisin McConville will be here, and Kathy Kelly, in conversation with Brian Cunningham on That's Life. And The Scourge of Chewing Gum. It features in every town around the country, but none more so than Tullamore, for some peculiar reason, and we'll be drilling into that. And finally, and again, maybe this is something you want to get involved in for Caller of the Day, where do you see shrinkflation at work? Shrinkflation, so Maltesers, for instance, they're now in smaller sizes, even though the prices are the same. There are 7 fewer chocolates in a sharing pack of Maltesers. The contents are reduced from 180 grams to 175 grams. Sneaky, isn't it? Twix bars have been reduced in size by 15%. So this is how some manufacturers avoid putting up the price. You think, oh, they're very decent, aren't they? Price of everything else has gone up, but oh no, Twix, Maltesers, they're charging me what they always charge me. No, they're not, because you're getting less. If you've other examples of this, please send them to me now. Now, still on the agenda today, why is Tullamore the chewing gum capital of Ireland? Arthur O'Mara goes gardening at 10:30, and how he once took every last penny from his mother's handbag to feed his gambling addiction. That's Life with Oisin McConville after 11. When you call, 0818 300 103 is the Midlands 103 comment line. You can text or WhatsApp 083 3010 103, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. And by the way, we have tickets for you and somebody special to head along to the Tullamore show, where you will enjoy the craft village, the food pavilion, the kids area, live music from the Gartha band, and so much more. It's Kilda Estate on Sunday week, the 14th. Now, you know how supermarkets are always due with discounts? Buy one, get one free, or buy three, pay for two. All those sort of promotions, and you see the labels, and, well, you think you're getting value. And in fact, you might even chase from supermarket to supermarket to find where the best offer is this week. Well, research conducted by and on behalf of Aldi shows half of Irish customers are overspending, shopping more frequently, or buying what they don't need just to qualify for money off vouchers. So on average, they say the typical customer spends €9 extra. 30% of customers spend more than a tenner extra. And if you, this is per week, by the way. So if you work that out over the course of a year, you're looking at €477 extra on groceries if you are Mr. or Mrs. Average. So how do you tell the good offers from the bad? How do you find genuine value and don't fall into the trap that the supermarkets are laying for you? Well, I want you to meet a woman who has saved €15,000 and bought a house thanks to her strict no-spend rules. And she is Kaz Mooney from County Offaly, who thankfully has joined us on this programme in the past to share her wisdom. Good morning, Kaz.
Morning, Will. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I would have always thought looking for the offers was key to saving money, and how surprised are you that it can backfire?
I'm not that surprised. I suppose it's important to work out if that offer is a good offer or if it is just a little trick to get you to pick up a few more that you weren't going to put into your basket already. But yeah, it's not too surprising. I'm hearing a lot about similar stories from my followers.
Well, we were talking last week about how grocery prices are now 7.7% higher than they were a year ago. And in a climate like that, naturally, you are going to consider if an offer represents genuine value. How do you tell the difference?
So I suppose one of the best ways for me is to look at the price per kg or unit price, and work out if that is the best offer. You'll often find the offers are on branded goods, so it's important to look at the unbranded and see if it is cheaper. Are you getting a better quantity for your euro? So yeah, it's very important. A lot of these offers are on the side of aisles and things like that, just to catch your eye as you're walking past. So it's very strategic. So it's really important that you do think about it. And I think the best way to combat it is to be going into the shop prepared ahead of time.
Well, some are, I suppose, very long-lasting foods. So
yeah.
Rice, for instance, if there's a 2-for-1 on rice, I'll usually pick that up. When it comes to meat, and maybe this is deliberate because meat prices have gone up perhaps more than most other foods, you really have to calculate, am I going to use it by the use-by date, or is it just going to end up in the bin?
Yeah, well, I think it's so important to then think about how you're storing food, because we waste a crazy amount of food in this country, and if you were to calculate that, it would be a probably an even higher amount than in that article that you're wasting. So it's really important to store your food correctly as well. So are you freezing that meat then before you use it up, or are you going to make a meal out of it and freeze that, or have it for the next day, because obviously cooking food extends the life of that meat a little longer. So yeah, it is really important to think ahead of time what you're going to do with this food that you're getting. So it's not always a great idea to bulk buy too much food, especially the food that will go out of date. Even in freezer, fresh meat once frozen only should be in the freezer for about 6 months. So you need to make sure that you are going to be using that food that you're buying.
Well, that's sometimes the challenge I find, because we have a fairly deep freezer, which we bought for that very purpose, to have the storage capacity. But what ends up at the bottom is forgotten.
Yeah.
And only every now and then when you do a proper route through do you discover, oh, crap, hang on, I should have used that 9 months ago.
When you do the big deep freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I use little storage boxes, and I find that really helps. So I put all my meat into one box, and then I stack a box on top of that, and I'll have my veg in that box. So that really helps. And then I have a whiteboard. I have our freezer in the garage, and I put a whiteboard on the wall and I write down what is in the freezer. So that does help as well. So a little inventory, see what we have. Mm.
That is useful. And when it went in, you can try and keep track of things then. What needs to be used first?
So I think preparation is really key for a lot of reducing spending. And it doesn't need to be like crazy. Even writing your list before you go into the shop, I think it helps so much. And another tip I would have that really helps me is I bring in what I want to spend in cash. So if I have 100 euro for the food shop that week in cash, then I'm going to be a lot less swayed by offers because I just don't have the budget for it in that food shop. So that really helps me, and I'm sure it would help a lot of people as well.
And psychologically, it's much more difficult to part with cash. You feel it far more than when you just tap the card.
Yeah.
That's nearly like invisible spending.
Yeah, it is. Like, especially since the limit went up on tapping, like that's why I went over to cash, because I would forget what I spent. And sometimes you would tap your card and it wouldn't show up in your bank account till the next day.
Mm.
And you've forgotten you spent that money.
That is a curse. Yeah, the lag and it's misleading then. You think, oh, I had a nice cushion, I'll go and get such and such a thing. No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. The money's gone. A few listeners are talking about a previous story, shrinkflation. So the chocolate bars, for instance, in which you get less, 15% less in the case of Twix, Also, Maltesers down from 180 grams in a share pack to 175. Maureen tells me, not just foods, but she's noticed that toilet paper is shrinking, kitchen roll is shrinking. So you really always have to be on the watch out for the fine print. How much are you getting? What's the weight?
That's why I think it's so important now to look at what you're getting per kg or in toilet roll, how many sheets you're getting, because I'm noticing that as well in the food shop. Either the price is increasing or the price is staying the same, and sometimes it's reducing in size. So you do have to be really careful with that for sure.
Do you make notes or do you store it all mentally, what the value is today versus maybe in a month?
I just know. I've always been very interested in the prices. I would be looking at, say, the likes of your milk and butter and be remembering what it was in January, and then thinking when it went up in April that you just couldn't believe it, and now sure it's up again. You just would know from looking at them all. And a lot of the own brand would be a similar price in a lot of the shops. They seem to match each other quite well there. But I'm noticing branded goods are also hiking up now as well.
A few listeners have pointed out that sometimes shops have the offer displayed on the shelf, but you always have to remember when you come to the till to make sure they apply it. Sometimes it comes across automatically, but not always is the system set up properly. And some would say it goes wrong a little too often to be an accident.
Yeah. No, you have to be careful for sure. I top up the prices I'm going along, so I'm quite strict with them at the till. I know what it should be. So you do have to be careful. And sometimes if you have a reduced sticker on an item, you need to make sure they're taking that off as well at the till.
All right. Well, some useful advice. Bottom line, don't just buy the offer because it's an offer. Make sure you genuinely need it. And interesting that the research was commissioned on behalf of Aldi as well, that they are trying to call out what is a practice presumably they subscribe to as much as any other supermarket. Kaz, grateful for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
Kaz Mooney. You can find her at irishbudgeting.com. She is a mum of three from County Offaly. Will, four jumbo sausages in Centra were €2. Now, four small sausages are €2.50. That's from Marion. Over what time period did they go up in price that much? Heavens above. And another texter says, you don't always get to the reductions. Yes, again, as the earlier person said, make sure when you look at the receipt that it has been applied and check there and then, because by the time you get home, you'll feel, should have gone back. But I'm comfy now, have the pyjamas on, food's unpacked, not don't want to hop in the car. You just have to be vigilant, really, really vigilant. So, 083 30 10 103 on text and WhatsApp for your top tips on shopping. And you could become caller of the day by getting involved and enjoy the whole Tullamore Show experience, which returns Sunday week, the 14th of August, to the Butterfield Estate. And not alone trade stands and machinery demos and all the usual, but plenty of music as well. The Garth Band shall be there, and for bands, Olivia Douglas is performing as well. A listener wants to know if you're having problems with air today. Cannot connect, and their fault line is not answering. Their free phone number goes dead. So problems with air, if you're in that boat, let me know. Will, as regards spends on shopping, the tenner off €50 offer in supermarkets, I see every week people get to the checkouts, their groceries come to maybe 45 because they have the tenner off. They go running back to pick up some other item to bring the price over €50. In the end, they spend more than they save. That's from Brian. And we'll take one or two more on that subject, actually. Will, a plain chicken fillet roll with butter, nothing extra, costs a fiver these days. A fiver. How is that justified? Ask this message. From Denise in County Meath. Only buy what is on your shopping list. Plan your means for the week. So stick to it, she says. Will, what was the broadband website you mentioned earlier? Asks Linda in Rathangan. NBI.ie, National Broadband Ireland, is what it stands for. And you can type in your air code and it should tell you whether you are inside the intervention area, as it's called. In other words, that's where the state is going to provide the fibre. And if you're outside the area, it's up to the private operators to do it. But I'm looking at my own place now and the website doesn't seem to be working. There's no indication whether you're in one area or another. It just says pending survey. Okay, pending survey. That sounds like we're going to be waiting a while. The Irish Parachute Club, which is the other side of the village, they're connected. And if you go across the bog completely, Lullymore Heritage Park is connected. So it's a bit random as to where they go first. Anyway, nbi.ie if you wish to check out your own. And one or two more. Will, my wife and I have started doing a lot of our shopping in many of the shops aimed at foreign nationals, because you can buy great treats for the kids, rice, potatoes, all the usual stuff, for a lot cheaper than in the main brand supermarkets. Even their delis are a lot better value with nicer food, and the staff are very helpful translating anything you need. Interesting tip. Have to practice that one. Eileen in Forban says, always check the receipt because very often it's incorrect. I have found this lots of times. And again, it makes you wonder if it's an accident. Always take your receipt as a precaution in case you're stopped for not paying as well. Yes, okay, that's wise. That is wise. Now, let's move on to a different subject. And Tullamore, it seems, is becoming the chewing gum capital of the country, because while we have problems with litter in every single town, and chewing gum is one of the scourges that you will see everywhere, it seems to be particularly a problem in the Offaly county town of Tullamore. Not sure why, but let's find out what's going to be done about it. Shane Murray is chairperson of Tullamore Tidy Towns. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, Will.
Imagine this is deeply, deeply frustrating for you and for other volunteers who go out and try to make the town look its best. You and the local Cathaoirleach of the municipal district, Tony McCormack, launched a campaign last week. Tell us about it.
Yes, Will. We launched a campaign in conjunction with Offaly County Council. And the staggering number that came out of it was 80 to 90% of gum is not disposed in the bin. That's quite a staggering amount, 80 to 90%. It can take up to 5 years plus for it to come up off the street naturally, so it's going to stick to the ground for at least 5 years, if not longer. And we probably see it more now than we have before because of the lovely new streetscape that we have in Tullamore. So the lovely new paving that went down in the last couple of years. The street looks fantastic, and it's a really credit to Jean Ryan and John Connolly and all the outdoor staff and Offaly County Council that do great work here in Tullamore. But it's kind of highlighted more because of the streetscape.
Yeah, you notice it
clearly. Absolutely. We know.
What about cigarette butts? Are they as common?
They are, but we can sweep them up. And the outdoor staff are out. I don't know if people realise this, but the outdoor staff of Tullamore Municipal District are out every morning litter picking. They're out with their pickers and they're doing it every single morning of the week. I don't know if people realise the cost of keeping the town clean and the county clean is 1.4 million over 3 years in the lead up to 2022. 1.4 million.
Well, if you consider how else that money could be spent, it becomes very, very tempting and, you know, again, self-evident why people shouldn't be disposing of their litter the wrong way. How do you remove chewing gum then if it is one of the toughest things to get up? And let's say somebody has trodden on it and it's well marked down into the path.
Well, this is a conversation I've had with Mr. Fixit himself, Brian Clunan. I mean, there's all sorts of solvents and all sorts of ways of getting it up, using between WD-40, getting down and scraping it up. And But the only way to really remove it is to hire in a machine to do it, and that costs a lot of money. And that's where the problem lies. You know, you don't notice the cans and the rubbish that's thrown on the ground. We notice it from the tidy towns. We see our volunteers on a Wednesday night picking them up. And we have clear bags. So I was just looking at one of the bags that one of our volunteers, PJ, picked up last week. And you could see all the dashboard dining, all the stuff coming from your petrol stations. And they're easy to pick up. But the gum, unfortunately, isn't. And when you think 80 to 90% of it is just thrown on the ground, it's quite amazing.
So the campaign involves awareness, obviously. Is there anything else? For instance, is there going to be a tougher enforcement approach?
Well, we have two litter wardens in the town. We're hoping, through education, they don't have to start handing out fines. So they are able and to hand out fines and qualified to hand out fines to people. We hope not to have to go down that route. We have all the councillors and myself, we have taken some of the boxes with the bin your gum paper and put in various different shops, sort of be Doyle's Gala, Turrell Shop, Brendan Dolan's, all over the town. But it's really down to the person that's using it. You know, I mean, you really just need just to think for a minute. Just pick up a piece of tissue paper, especially with everything that's going on the last couple of years with COVID and all sorts of other things that, you know, for health reasons, you know, we should be disposing of this correctly. You know,
Shane, it's a disgusting habit, unfortunately, that people have, and it's one that is so easily corrected. And as you've pointed out, there's a very compelling financial case, if nothing else. So hopefully the campaign is a big success. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Will. Thanks for having me on.
Bin Your Gum is now underway in Tullamore. John has been in contact and he says, my sympathies to the person trying to reach AIR on their helpline. Good luck. They have to be one of the worst companies to reach. You would have more luck getting through to the Vatican, he says. And on text, Will, through your programme, I would love to thank Tullamore Hospital for the wonderful care I received while there last week. The staff were really cheerful. Nothing was too much for them. There's no name attached to the message, but nice to get the pat on the back regardless. Will, cooked chicken in Centra was €6, now €7.85, according to Marion. And Bank of Ireland coming in for some heat. They are forcing people online, and this needs to be talked about more because it is creating mindless spending. The cashless society, and yes, the Irish Independent yesterday revealing some of the sneaky tactics banks are using to drive you away from the branch, deliberately understaffing them so that you will see longer queues. When you call, it'll take longer to get through, and more they are pushing you online. Not a claim by just customers or a random suspicion, but from the unions, the people who work in the banks. So, yes, it deserves to be talked about. You're dead right. Next, though, we're going gardening, and the weather over the next week to be very, very pleasant. A little bit of rain today, possibly tomorrow as well, but fairly settled after that. And once we get beyond next weekend, temperatures heading north, 23 to 25 degrees on many days. Well, fingers crossed.